All right, thank you. You may be seated. I'm so glad you're here this morning. It's such an awesome time to be together, to lift up the name of Jesus. And many of you, as we were singing earlier, were so familiar with the name of Jesus. But for some of us, we may be here for the first time. You may never have been introduced to Jesus as your Lord and your Master. And I want to tell you that that's the most important thing that could happen in your life today. We believe the most important decision a person ever makes is to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the way that we say that here at Harvest is we say we surrender our life to Jesus. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you've never given your life to Christ, I want to direct your attention to this card. It says, "How do I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior?" And if you're with us online, there's a place you can text the Path to Salvation. There it is right beside me. Text Path to Salvation at 97000. We want to give you more information because we believe with all of our heart that and that alone is the most important miracle that ever happens to any human being, is that they take Jesus can take a heart that's dead and bring it back to life and give you eternal life and the forgiveness of your sins. So that is paramount. Now, for the rest of us, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, "Bless the Lord." I'm so glad you're here with us today. Jesus is our Lord. He's our Master. We want to honor him in everything that we do. And the message series that we are in is an opportunity for us to come back to full passion and full enthusiasm and singular focus on Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So with that in mind, I want to ask you to pray with me and ask God to prepare our hearts so we can receive his word together today. Just open your hearts and even your hands, if you will. Lord, we receive your word today. In Jesus' name, we choose to open our minds, open our hearts, and allow the Spirit of the living God to infuse us with life today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody agreed, said, amen. So we're in agreement today that the word of the Lord will enter our hearts in a powerful and personal way. We started last week and we said when we interpret the Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, we need to put on the lenses, so to speak, of the complete and finished work of the cross. So when we read the Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, we have to interpret every word through the lens of what Jesus did, taking into account that Jesus Christ died on the cross and took away sin, that Jesus took the punishment we deserve, and he rose victorious from the dead, and now he lives in heaven, and he sent back the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful truth that we learned last week in the book of Corinthians. It says that when we surrender our life to Jesus, then he puts his Spirit inside of us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So interpreting the book of Haggai, understanding the lenses of the cross, he's going to be speaking ancient times. This is back in 500 something BC that he spoke this word, but it's still relevant today. But today we've learned that everything he says here that is natural now applies to us spiritually. Can you say spiritually? So you've got to put on your lenses of the cross. Here's another way we understand. See, he talks about a physical temple like a building, but God says we are the temple, each one of us a temple. And then the Bible says in Peter that we are living stones being fitted together to build a spiritual house. So when this says temple, we know he's speaking of our heart and then collectively us built together in relationships to form what is called the body of Christ or the household of faith, and a living temple. So we're going to not re-preach last week's message, although I would love to. We made it through verse 6 in chapter 1 of Haggai. There's only 2 pages in my Bible, but it takes about, I don't know, depending on your speed of reading, 3 to 10 minutes, depending on how much you stop and repent, maybe 20 minutes. But there's a lot of content here that's so important for us to receive. And I want to let you in on something. See, we preached this exact same book 2 years ago in October of 2018. So this is our second round in the book of Haggai. I was asking God, why are we doing this again? And he said, because we didn't all get it the first time. And that's a simple answer. But I really believe that. And I'm not trying to make light of that. It's so important because we believe that God is pouring out his Spirit on the earth like never before. And we said this, you've been hearing me say this for over 12 weeks now, that the true church is about to rise and dead religion is going to crumble. Now, what does that mean? That means we need to rise with Christ. What does that mean? If you've been caught in religion, what's religion? That's man-made faith. That's man-made attempts at God. Where real faith is completely focused on Jesus Christ and his complete and finished work on the cross. Real faith is brought about through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, lots of churches today will preach Jesus and ignore the present work of the Holy Spirit. That's religion. You cannot preach God and Jesus and ignore the Holy Spirit, just like you can't preach God and Jesus or the Holy Spirit and ignore the Holy Bible. You've got to have a full expression of who God is. Otherwise, it's man-made religion, and that is going to crumble. Now, why does that matter to us? Because we so desperately want to partner with God our Father through the work of the Holy Spirit to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ right here on this planet. Amen? Amen? To be able to do that, we have to be in lockstep with the Holy Spirit. You can read that in the book of Galatians. It says, walk in step with the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So the flesh is religion. The flesh is man-made self-centeredness. But faith is Jesus-centered life. Now, we said last week, he said Haggai approaches Zerubbabel, who's the governor, and Joshua, who's the high priest, and all the people of God. And in that season, they were trying to rebuild the temple. Now, if you go back a little bit in history, you'll see that Nehemiah was building the wall. And Ezra was the priest at that time. So you had Ezra and Nehemiah. Now you have Joshua and Zerubbabel. Joshua and Zerubbabel come in after the wall is built. Now they're protected and they can rebuild the temple. The goal was always to rebuild the temple. Why? Because God wanted to pour out his presence to all the people. And in that time, they had to have a temple, a physical structure for the Ark of the Covenant to be in so that the people could come and experience God. Now, the good news is here today, God still needs a temple. But the temple is made up of the hearts of people. You're a temple, you're a temple, you're a temple if you're a believer in Christ. And collectively, we all build this magnificent, beautiful cathedral to God that's not made with human hands. Woo! My goodness, I thought I did good in first service. God's doing better in second. At least it feels good right now. So here we are in verse 7. If you did not get to hear last week, I'd encourage you to go to YouTube or go to our app. If you don't have our app, you can stop by the Connection Center. They'll tell you how to get it on your phone and you can keep up with our messages. But let's begin in verse 7 of chapter 1. And he says to them, consider your ways. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now in the New Living Translation, it says this. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. And so we saw last week in those first six verses, now we're in verse 7. He says, it's time to rebuild the temple. And the people said, in my paraphrase, I don't think so. Like literally, God says, do this. And they say to God, talk to the hand if you don't understand, right? Conceptually, none of us would say, I'm going to tell God, no thanks. But that's what they did. And that's what we do. Now, we talked about this last week. There is no condemnation in Christ. What's condemnation? Condemnation says you're a bad person. There's none of that anymore because Jesus perfectly took on our sin and took the death punishment that we deserve, taking all of that out of the way. So if you're believing and putting your faith in Christ today, you're perfected, you are good, you're never condemned. But you can still have wrong behavior. And when your behavior is wrong, a good father named God in heaven would want to come and correct his children. Amen? It's Father's Day. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Father only disciplines those he loves. So if you had a father who disciplined you, which I spoke about in first service, my dad had something he called the Board of Education. And he would apply that to my backside when I needed to learn something new. And so what did that do? That applied pain. So when your child is little, you apply a little bit of tap on the backside and it hurts a little bit. And it equates in your mind that if you do this thing, it's going to create pain in your life. And it's a corrective measure. So what happens when we read the Bible? It gets a little tap on your backside and it stings a little bit if what you're living doesn't agree with what it's saying. And God does that on purpose. The pain is conviction that says you need a positive change. Wake up. Because if you were doing the right things already, when you read it, it wouldn't sting. God's not trying to hurt you by the stinging of conviction. He's trying to help you. What would it be like? It would be like you telling your child, stay on the sidewalk because in the street there's a Mack truck about to run over you and your child doesn't understand. And you're the child now. And God says, this is your narrow path. I want you to stay right in the center of it. The Bible calls it a narrow way because broad leads to destruction, but narrow leads to life. And narrow is where your destiny is, church. And a father says, stay off of the right, the left, and stay off of the right because that's where the Mack truck lives. And it's coming to, boom, run over your life. What would it be? What would that be? We tend to drift, don't we? Human beings tend to drift. So we drift off into what the world says is acceptable when the Bible says it's not acceptable. We drift off into alternative lifestyles. We drift off into hate and anger and lust and all the things of the flesh. And if you want to know what the things of the flesh are, you can look them up. Google the works of the flesh and you'll find it in Galatians and Corinthians and Ephesians and other places in the New Testament. I don't have time to read those to you, but I think you already know what they are, most likely. It's the bad stuff. It's the naughty list, okay? Stay off of the naughty list. We're not talking about Santa Claus. We're just talking about the flesh. You need to stay out of those behaviors. Why? Because God's going to condemn you to hell if you do those? No, it will hinder your ability to partner with God to do his work. Your salvation is secure. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you don't have to worry about whether you're saved. If you called his name, he saved you. But now what this message is about is whether you're going to be able to partner with him to help save some others. Don't you know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost, and his chosen instrument in the earth is you. Say, I am God's chosen instrument. Say it like you mean it. Say, I am God's chosen instrument. Woo! Here in a minute, you're going to find out why Pastor Brad is so excited. Because God has sparked my enthusiasm. Whoa! Let's keep reading. I want to just skip these verses and go to the good stuff, but we have to go through the pain to get to the, sometimes you got to eat your broccoli before you get ice cream, okay? So let's eat the broccoli right quick. Verse 8, go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple. Remember, that's talking about spiritually for us. So what does a renovated heart look like? Here, let me help you get in touch with what we're doing. Does the word disinterested in God apply to you? Does the word dissatisfied or discouraged or discombobulated, does the word disenfranchised or disappointed apply to your relationship with God? How about this? Pastor, if I was gonna be honest with you today, I just find it very difficult to seek God when I'm outside of the church building. I can't find time to read my Bible, to pray, to worship, to interact with other people who are seeking God. I just find it very difficult to develop my spiritual life. That applies to a lot of people. You realize that? Now, I'm not after you, but I'm telling you the truth. If any of those things I just said apply to you, you need a remodel of your heart. Because disciples are passionate about seeking their Father in heaven. Disciples are on fire for God, not sitting back going, well, the economy looks like it's going to tank. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Christians don't worry about this stuff. Christians say, my God owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the promises of the Bible are true. He will provide for me. That's what fired up Christians say. What have you been saying? Oh, I'm scared of all the things I hear on the news. Christians say, my God shall supply my needs. He is a shield about me. My faith protects me. Hallelujah. Just giving you some practical examples. Now, let's get back to rebuilding this temple. So if you've heard already that you need some renovation, just submit to it. Say, God, I need some renovation. Let me tell you a personal story. Yesterday, I was in my office. I was trying to pay my bills and do my personal finances, but God had other business in order. And this is what happened to me. I found myself on my face weeping and crying because God revealed to me that for years and years of my life, I've had a critical spirit. I've learned to mask it really well. I've learned to say positive things. But deep in my heart, if I didn't like something that somebody did, I would become critical of them and judgmental. And God said, Brad, today I want to remove that from you. And I was weeping uncontrollably. I could not stop. And I remembered the passage in Corinthians where it says, there is a godly sorrow that leads to true repentance. And I texted one of my friends and I said, I can't stop crying. I think I might have encountered godly sorrow. I need to get free from this critical spirit so I can love people the way God loves people. I want you to know I'm on the same journey you're on. I needed some heart renovation yesterday. And many of us need heart restoration and renovation and rebuilding and all the things. And so don't feel like you're alone and don't feel like it's a shameful thing. We need to repent. What does that mean? Just change when God tells you to change. It's not that hard. It's not shameful. Romans chapter 2 says God leads us to repentance through kind acts. So God is kind. And this message is a kind nudge from our Heavenly Father to us. So he says, rebuild the temple that I may be pleased. Who are we trying to please? God. I mean, most of us are just trying to please ourselves, looking for just a little bit of pleasure in this life. And God says, I want you to please me. Build the temple so that I may be pleased and be glorified, says the Lord. Psalm 37 says this, trust in the Lord and give it, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, many of us selfishly think, oh, if I get a little faith dance or do a little church stuff, God will give me what I want. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you put your hope in the Lord, when you totally commit your life to the Lord, then he will put his desires in your heart. He will give you the right desires. You can't make God fit you. That's, you know what making God fit you is? That's putting you in the center. That's saying I'm God and I need this power to fit me. That never works. We need to fit God. Is he the maker of heaven and earth? Is he the one who knitted you together in your mother's womb? Then you, my friends, need to fit him. He doesn't need to fit you. And that's when you read the word and he says, renovate this temple, rebuild it so my presence can come to the earth. God needs people who are fully and completely committed to him, where he is first in everything. First in my finances, first in my relationships, first with my kids, first in my marriage, first in my job, first in the way I serve the community and the church of Jesus. First. God is an afterthought to so many people, and I'm telling you, if this applies to you, you need some renovation of your temple. Now, so here's what he says happens when you argue with him. And just hold on. This is about spiritual things, not completely natural things. You look for much, but behold, I blow it away. It comes to little, and when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because my house lies desolate while each of you runs to his own house. What do we say our own house was last week? Our own self-centered desires. And God says, I love you too much to let you stay stuck in that place. I'm going to move you back to the center of my path. How am I going to do that? I'm not going to let you succeed in all these things because I care more about where your heart is, because I designed you to bring glory to my son and advance the kingdom of God. And you can't do that when you're off doing your own thing. The Father loves you, so he disciplines you. It's not about punishment. It's about bringing you back to where you need to be. And some of you are saying, well, that's not a new covenant lens of the cross paradigm. I'm about to prove to you it is. In James chapter 4, but I'll get to that in a second. Let's finish this passage because it's fun. Therefore, because of you, the sky withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. Pretty grave stuff, isn't it? You're thinking naturally, what about spiritually? How many of you said, I'm dry? How many of you have ever said, I just feel dry, Pastor? I need a fresh word. I need the prophet to come to town and prophesy over me because I'm dry. I need a word of the Lord. I said, here's your word. It's called Haggai chapter 1. You don't need J.C. Alzamora to come to town. You don't need Kenneth Copeland to speak into your life. You got a word right here. It's called the Holy Bible. Couple of you agree, the rest of you, come on with it. I'm dry spiritually. Just get wet. You don't have to wait for the rain. Just pour it on. Rain come in Jesus' name. Don't get lost in the natural things. Think about the spirit. I called for a drought on the land. God will cause you to dry up so that you'll run back to the well because he's the well. See, God loves you too much to let you go astray. I call for a drought on the mountains of grain, the new wine, the oil, and the ground's produce on men and cattle, and all the labors of your hand. Here's what James 4 says. Hebrews James. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says God is opposed, say opposed, to the proud, say proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let me read something to you right quick. You think what I read in Haggai is not a New Testament paradigm? Think again. Pride and self-centeredness forces God to oppose us. Oh, he will take care of your basic needs because he's a good and loving father. He'll feed you the rest of your life. But you will not prosper in all the ways that he called you to or designed you to. You will not be able to partner with God in the advancement of his kingdom because you have chosen your own way instead of his way. Do you hear me, church? God is opposed to the proud. You go, oh, I know what pride is. I know when somebody sticks their chest out and boastful. I got this. Mm-hmm. That is pride. That's called arrogance. But let me tell you another form of pride that many of you are not aware of. It's called insecurity. It's when you're over here going, I can't do this. I'm so beat down and anxious. And, oh, God, I can't. Who's in the center of that? I am. But you need I am to be in the center, and you won't say I can't anymore because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about you? Yes. Yes, yes, I agree with what I just said. Submit therefore to God, verse 7 and James 4. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's good news, by the way. Now here's the New Testament paradigm for when you're off the path. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to Christians who are on their way to heaven who forgot who they were and started living like the world again. And it's not like maybe going out into the darkness. It's the religious pride of your self-centeredness. And he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's double-minded? I say one thing and do the other. That fits every one of us. So you're all in this boat. Just submit to it. Don't say, well, I'm good. If you truly are good, and this is not applying to you, please pray for me because I'm not good. And please pray for the rest of the church because God has a word for us to repent and change our self-centered living. It says it here, verse 9, best verse in the Bible, right? Be miserable. Mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. You know what happened to me yesterday? I cried my eyes out. I didn't know if I was going to be able to quit. But then I remembered, sorrow lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I got up this morning, I came to my early morning prayer meeting before church, and I got happy again, church. Joy comes in the morning. Don't be afraid. You know, when you discipline your kids, I learned this in Kingdom Families. You need to discipline your children. And we would have a discipline session with one of my kids, and they would cry, and they would everything, and we would pray, and they would jump up in my lap and thank me for spanking them. And I thought, this is a weird paradigm. I never thanked my dad for spanking me. Nothing against the way I was disciplined. My dad did the best he could, and I benefited from it. But when you do it without emotion, guess what? Your kids somehow know they needed that. And if you'll be honest today, you somehow know you need this correction. And the sting of the word will help you move toward positive change. It's not a sting that lasts. It's just a sting that goes, oh, I know where center is. I know the call of God on my life. I know the path I'm supposed to be on. And I veered to the left or I veered to the right. But God says, come on back in here. This is my kindness leading you to repentance, to change. So humble yourself, it says in verse 10, in the presence of the Lord. Here's the good stuff, guys. We're getting to the ice cream now. Broccoli's almost over. And he will exalt you. Say exalt. God wants to lift you up. God never has in his mind to put you under his thumb and hold you down. God wants to exalt you, but you just need to come back to your senses. Stop living over here and get in the center of the narrow way once again, because God is calling you, church, to be his partner in the advancement of the kingdom here on this planet. Who is willing? Isaiah said, he said, he came to Isaiah and he said, who will go for me and whom will I send? And Isaiah said, touch the coal to my lips, purify my heart, God. Here am I, God, send me. Could you say that in your own heart today? Whatever it takes, God, purify me because I want you to send me. Amen? Haggai is about to get good because these people heard what Haggai said in verse 12, and then Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant. Say all. And they obeyed the voice of God. Say obeyed. Oh, isn't it good when you obey? Because when you obey, when you work in the principles of obedience, you get the promise of God. Your eternal life is secure, can't be taken away, but whether you're going to live in the prosperity on this earth so God can use you to advance his kingdom, it's contingent on you walking in the principle of obedience. Obedience is not a bad word. Repentance is not a bad word. These are life-giving concepts. Whew. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God from the words of the prophet Haggai, and the Lord their God had sent them, and the people showed reverence to the Lord. Verse 13 is getting even better. We're getting some chocolate sauce on the ice cream. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Now, we've talked about this. God's everywhere all the time. That's called omnipresent. But you know the difference in omnipresent and manifest presence. What's manifest? I feel it. I sense it. I know it. I'm empowered by the presence of God. You ever felt that? You want to stay in it or get out of it? If you've been out, you want to get back in. And the only way back into the manifest presence of God is to admit, I veered off the path, God. I hear you calling me back. No condemnation. By your kindness, here I return to the center of your will. God's calling us to renovate this heart. Let this temple be rebuilt. Make God your first priority again. And God will say, I'm with you. Oh, he's never left you, but now you sense his manifest presence. And then this is where it gets real good. Verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and all of the remnant, say all of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Look at what the New Living says. Verse 14. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel and of Joshua and of all the people, and they began to work on the house of the Lord's arm. You are the house of God. You ever wonder why Pastor Brad is so fired up? Because I got sparked up by God. But this spark doesn't last unless I repent when the kindness comes and says, you've been a critical spirit for all these years, and I've kindly waited and helped you, but now's the time to let it go. Are you willing to repent when God speaks to you? Because that's the only way to get back on the narrow way. Stand with me, church. I believe God wants to spark your enthusiasm. But the pathway to enthusiasm is obedience. What's God calling you to do that you have not done? You know what it is. I don't have to come out there and tell you. In your heart of hearts, you know where God is calling you. You know what he's been speaking to you. If you don't, go back to this. I just can't seem to find time to seek God. Then that's what God's telling you. Make time. My spirit of kindness will empower you to seek me first. What does it say in Matthew 6, verse 33? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that you need will be added unto you. Don't we get that backwards all the time? We're seeking all that we need instead of seeking the God who can provide my needs. Will you pray with me, church? God, you're calling us to repent in so many different ways. You just want to renovate this heart. You want to rebuild this temple. You want to get us lit on fire again. Oh God, I believe for some in this place today, they remember when they were on fire, when they were sparked with enthusiasm, when they were stirred up for the kingdom of God, and they know in their heart of hearts that day is not today. And so, Lord, by your kindness, you are leading us right here, right now, to just throw up our hands and surrender and say, I give up, God. I surrender once again. Oh, God, just like you led me to tears yesterday, I know many of these people need to come to that very same place, whatever it may be in their life. God, I ask for your kindness. I know that you're as kind to them as you are to me, God. And you've never done me wrong, you've only done me right. Oh God, let your kindness fall upon your church today, because you want to lead us back to the center of your will so we can be empowered to advance the kingdom of God in the earth, in Jesus' name.